That is only Tuesday, but Friday will be upon us soon, and Friday we will once again be at our Friday Roadshow, broadcasting live from Norma's Carriage House, Glenstone Division. Doors open at 6 a.m., so you can come in and have some coffee, have some breakfast, have some dinner if you want. You can do dinner for breakfast, have a nice big steak at 6 a.m. Friday Roadshow, sponsored by Queen City Motors. Here is Bailey with the latest news update.
Pushing more transparency across Missouri governments, Auditor Nicole Galloway has sent a letter to all counties and municipalities urging officials to create bans on apps that automatically delete messages, similar to those that former Governor Greitens was investigated for last year. Galloway says self-deleting apps allow public business to be conducted in the shadows, and it's just common sense that they should be banned. Several dozen people in Springfield took advantage of a traveling clinic that helps people register for medical marijuana cards this week. In a matter of just hours on Monday, nearly 140 people were seen by a doctor at Canna Bliss in Springfield and left with a prescription. They say they'll get their cards in the mail in about a week. The Lawrence County Sheriff is looking for a thief or thieves who broke into a church in Monette and stole nearly $4,000 worth of items. They first tried to pry open the doors of the church, and when that failed, went in through a broken window. The pastor said it was a shame. He remembered times when churches would leave their doors unlocked throughout the night so people could come in and pray. And that's the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. Sunny today, high of 72, 47 tonight, mostly cloudy with a high of 74 tomorrow. Then a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms Thursday, a high of 80. Friday, showers likely only 62, and areas of frost Saturday with a high of 60. It's 45. Daytime talk show host Ellen DeGeneres taking a stand against the leftist mob after receiving backlash for appearing at a football game next to former President George W. Bush, who's a friend of hers. See, if you are on the left, you are not supposed to associate with people that think differently than you. During her monologue yesterday, DeGeneres told the audience that she and Portia de Rossi were invited to a Dallas Cowboys game by Charlotte Jones, daughter of cowboy owners Jerry Jones. She was seen in the suite sitting next to Bush and former First Lady Laura Bush. DeGeneres joked, when we were invited, I was aware I was going to be surrounded with people from very different views and beliefs, and I'm not talking about politics, I was rooting for the Packers. She joked, so I had to hide my cheese hat from Porsche's purse, or in Porsche's purse. However, DeGeneres faced heavy criticism from people on the left for associating with somebody who might disagree with them. DeGeneres acknowledged, quote, people were upset. They thought, why is a gay Hollywood liberal sitting next to a conservative Republican president? A lot of people were mad, and they did what people do when they're mad. They tweet. The comedian read one tweet, Ellen and George Bush together makes me have faith in America again, to which the audience clapped. DeGeneres continued, here's the thing. I'm friends with George Bush. In fact, I'm friends with a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs I have. We're all different, and I think that we've forgotten that it's okay that we're all different. But just because I don't agree with someone on everything doesn't mean I'm not going to be friends with them. When I say, this is the key. When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only the people that think the same way you do. I mean be kind to everybody. Now, good for her for not apologizing. Good for her for not saying, well, you know, I'm sorry if that offended some people, and I can understand how, given in this day of divisive politics, that might make some people uncomfortable, and the last thing I want to do is make... But instead, she used this as a moment to correct people in their perspective, or at least offer a rational perspective. Not probably going to accept it, but nonetheless... You see stuff like this, and it is so amazing when you look back at how the left Once Upon a Time was relatively successful in portraying itself as being tolerant and coexisting, and we can all get along, and conservatives were these close-minded individuals that didn't want anything to do with anyone that they disagree with, how they have become this authoritarian mob that destroys people who dare think or associate with people who think outside the little tiny world that they've created. And the worst scorn goes to those that are supposed to be on their plantation. The people like Ellen DeGeneres, who stray away and actually treat people like human beings, who are actually not judgmental, who can actually be friends with people who have a different perspective and point of view. You know, on one hand, I think I don't know what has happened to the left. I kind of do, but it's just a real long, long discussion. But it's a bad thing for humanity. It is amazing to me that people desire to only be around people who think exactly like they do. And I don't mean in the sense of political causes. I mean, that makes sense. Like, well, I'm a pro-life person, so if I'm going to go to an event regarding abortion, it's going to be the pro-life side. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. But the left, as you can see here, it's like you have to pass a specific test, and we're just going to go watch a ball game together. It has nothing to do with politics. Well, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about this? How do you feel about this? You know what it is when people ultimately only want to associate with people who believe exactly the same thing they do without any dissent? That is called a cult. If you were to observe a cult and see what their expectation is when it comes to beliefs and their adherence to one belief system, if you have ever read about cults or watched a documentary or an accurate portrayal through a drama of a cult, you know what happens if a cult member begins to stray in their beliefs? There is punishment. There is alienation. There is condemnation. And they're eventually kicked out and demonized as an example of what happens if you don't follow the way of the leader. The mindset in this day and age in America of people on the left is not unlike people who join cults. They only want to associate with people who believe exactly what they do. They demonize people who don't believe what they do. And the people who deserve the greatest scorn and condemnation are some of their own who associate with people outside of their little cult. I would be more than welcome to someone to challenge me on that comparison. I'd be more than welcome to take that challenge, because I think you got a difficult argument to try to overcome. Bailey has a traffic update for us. I'm Nick Reed. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch has an editorial, which may come as a surprise to you, as off base as usual. Missouri must end the unfair free ride internet retailer gets on sales taxes. Now, this is the issue that has been fought for a very long time. It started way back when with catalogs. And you would have a department store based in Nebraska. And they would send out good old-fashioned catalogs to homes across the country. And here we are in Missouri, and, well, here's a catalog. And, oh, I want to buy this. I'm going to buy a rake. I'm going to buy a rake from this store up in Nebraska that sent me this catalog. And then I buy the rake. And at some point, people began saying, well, wait a minute, you should pay sales tax on that. There needs to be a sales tax added to that, the Missouri sales tax. And the company in Nebraska says, well, no, because they bought it from us in Nebraska. We're just shipping it to them. It would be no different than if, you know, somebody bought it in Nebraska and brought it to you. I mean, that's essentially what we're doing. You're buying it here. So we don't have to put a sales tax in your state because that's not where we're selling it. And it was taken to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court agreed. Well, along comes the internet. And the argument against forcing a company in Nebraska to apply sales taxes based on where the person who buys it is, as opposed to from where it is sold, was essentially the same argument. But it went to the Supreme Court, and all of the sudden precedent didn't matter so much because the internet was different than ordering from a catalog because it's not paper, it's a screen. And so the Supreme Court was like, okay, well, states now they can go ahead and they can require a business to apply the sales tax to wherever the person is. Now, there are some very legitimate arguments. Doesn't mean I necessarily agree with them, but there are some very legitimate arguments on both sides of this. From a logistical standpoint, this is somewhat of a nightmare. Because not only are there state sales tax, but you have local sales tax. Sometimes you have sales tax from county. So you think about how many states, how many cities, how many counties, and you're somebody that sells stuff over the internet. Somebody buys something in, you know, whatever city that's in whatever county up in Rhode Island, and then you're responsible to finding out, you know, what's their state tax? Is there some sort of, you know, local taxes apply? And you know, it's a logistical nightmare. Not that there cannot be some sort of software developed, or perhaps there already is, that makes it an absolute easy thing. No one has to worry about it. They don't even pay attention to it. But that's, you know, that has been one of the many arguments against it. Missouri is one of a handful of states that has not yet forced this form of taxation on the citizens of Missouri. There are a handful of states that do not comply. Now, as you know, with those on the left, when it comes to issues that they like, the more people who do it, that in and of itself is reason to do it, because everyone else is. Prescription drug monitoring program is one of those. Well, everyone else is doing it. And a application of this tax on people who purchase items in the state of Missouri is also one of those that they use that argument. Well, most other states do it, so we should do it too. They talk about, and I'm going to read to you some of the verbiage. Now, I want it to be understood. I'm not saying that it's that there's no argument for putting this tax. I'm not, you know, on internet purchased items. I'm not arguing that. I think that there are some valid arguments. The problem that people who support it seem to have is they don't really make a lot of those valid arguments. They make arguments that are not valid. The editorial board, of course, it's more taxes, so that's what they love. And the more money they can take out of your pocket for the government, the better. They write, Missouri is almost alone among states with sales taxes and that it hasn't extended them to online purchases, even though the U.S. Supreme Court green-lighted such collections more than a year ago. State and local governments in Missouri are missing out on up to $280 million annually in needed dollars while putting local brick-and-mortar businesses in an unfair disadvantage with out-of-state online competitors. How is that fair? Now, first off, the idea that it's government's job to be fair or to make things fair, or that is pipe dream stuff. There is, however, a valid argument as to whether this is an unfair advantage, that if you are a brick-and-mortar store in, you know, Missouri, you have to collect a sales tax, but somebody who's not in Missouri does not. And so you can say, well, here I'm selling an item, somebody can go buy on the internet from another state, and that gives them an unfair advantage. To counter that, I believe that that is to a degree somewhat overblown. most people, not all, but most people do not pay that much attention to the sales tax component. When they are looking to purchase something, they just look at the ultimate price, and they see, unless you're buying something, you know, that's thousands of dollars. But if you're spending $20, $30, $8, even $100, most people see the tax aspect of it as incidental. In fact, you could argue that oftentimes whatever the cost of shipping something far outweighs the taxes that the local businesses have to collect. Now, it's not always going to be that way. My point is, it isn't a black and white, straight up situation where selling something online is the automatic go-to for a person that might otherwise buy it in a store, because if they buy it in a store, they're going to have to pay 6 cents on the dollar, so 60 cents for a $10 item, as opposed to not paying the 60 cents that they buy it online. It's just not that cut and dry. They write, the problem is a few conservative legislators who, putting ideological dogma ahead of sound fiscal policy, fairness, and common sense, say leveling this inequity would constitute a new tax. No, it's merely the consistent application of current taxes, and it's beyond time to do it. Well, it isn't. There is a degree of apples and oranges here. While there are a lot of similarities, there are differences, so it is intellectually dishonest to paint it as exactly the same. One of the major differences is, if you have a business in another state, the people who own that business have absolutely no way to weigh in on the sales tax of the state they're going to be collecting. So if I've got a business here and there is a sales tax initiative on the ballot, I can go out, I can vote against it, I can vote for it. I have a say in that. But if I am in Missouri and I'm selling internet products online and somebody in Rhode Island buys it, I don't have any say at all. I am not paying because the customer pays it, but I am having to apply a tax that I had absolutely no say in. Now, some people will argue you don't have to sell in that state, and that's true. But my point is, there are differences, and to paint it as exactly the same situation, but the application is uneven, that is intellectually dishonest. Though I suspect they don't even know that they're being intellectually dishonest, because I don't know that they understand this stuff. They write, the internet has fundamentally changed the way America shops. In two decades, online sales have gone from a tiny niche segment of the economy to more than 10% of all retail sales. That number is deceptively low because broad areas of purchasing seldom happen online, like automobiles and restaurant meals. In subcategories like general merchandise, electronics, and books, online sales already challenge or dominate those traditional stores. Now, here's something also to think about. They write, in two decades, online sales have gone from a tiny niche segment of the economy to more than 10% of all retail sales. Now, they say that number's underestimated. I suggest that there is an overestimation here, and here's why. The assumption that's being made is that all 10% of those retail sales are being made by stores that are not brick and mortar stores. In other words, their portrayal here is that 10% of retail sales are done over the internet by individuals that do not have brick or mortar stores. Now, I don't know what the number is, but have you ever bought something online from Walmart? Have you ever bought something online from Bath and Body Works? Have you ever bought something online from Target? Well, those all count as online purchases, but who's benefiting from it? Brick and mortar stores. So my point is, every time we hear about this division of those who sell online versus those who sell brick and mortar stores, they portray it as if these are two totally separate entities, when quite often they are one and the same. So that percentage division is not an accurate portrayal. We've got to take a break. I'll continue on with this more. I'm Nick Reed. St. Louis Post-Dispatch has an editorial, Missouri must end the unfair free ride internet retailers get on sales taxes. And their argument, which isn't an uncommon argument, that if there is a business in Nebraska and you purchase an item from that business, then that business should have to tack on sales tax as if that business existed here in the state of Missouri. And that is the only way to create fairness when it comes to taxation for businesses here in the state of Missouri. And this was an argument that went before the Supreme Court dealing with catalogs years ago. The Supreme Court said, no, you don't have to do that. New court, and now with the internet and online sales, they switched and said, okay, yes, you do. So a lot of states, in an effort to get more money out of the taxpayers, have taken advantage of this. Missouri is one of, I think, five states that does not. And so the St. Louis Post-Dispatch is arguing that this needs to change. But a lot of their arguments are inaccurate. And there are arguments in favor of this that there is legitimacy to, but for whatever reason, they seem to escape the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And one of the arguments is that there's this clear division between online sales and brick-and-mortar stores, and that they are two totally separate entities, without an acknowledgement that a massive portion of online sales come from brick-and-mortar stores. In fact, most people who buy items online at some point have purchased from, you know, it ends up coming from a brick and mortar store, even if it you know, runs through Amazon. Oftentimes it's a brick and mortar store. So these are stores that are taking advantage of the ability to sell online. They write, for years, online retailers benefited from the fact that their new dynamic, reaching across state lines with no physical address in most states, let them go untouched by state and local sales taxes, even as their brick-and-mortar competitors had to pay them. Again, they didn't have to pay them when they were selling online as well. The Supreme Court last year cleared the way for states to collect sales taxes from online sales to residents in their states, regardless of where the company is based. Of the 45 states that have sales taxes, all but Missouri and Florida have adjusted their laws to mandate online collections. Efforts to do that in Missouri have been stymied despite support from Republican Governor Mike Parson, well, of course, because it's a tax increase, by conservatives who irrationally argue that since online sales aren't currently taxed here, doing so would mean adding taxes. They write, let's say a new store is opening down the street. Does it make sense to argue that because it wasn't taxed before, because it didn't exist, making it pay taxes like other retailers represents a new tax? That's the flawed rationale of an anti-tax extremist. Now, this is not an equal analogy. They're trying to what they're trying to say is here, well, if a new store pops up, a brick and mortar store, you wouldn't say that they don't have to apply a sales tax to their customers just because they didn't exist before. Well, no one is saying that the online stores did not exist before. They have been. This is whether or not to force them to start adding that tax. It's not about a new store. Their analogy does not hold up. They call this the flawed rationale of anti-tax extremists. Now, last week, we talked about the fact that in the United States of America, just income tax, well, that may not be, there are a number of state and, I believe it was state and federal income tax. The point being, when it comes to taxes in 2018, the average American paid more in taxes than they paid in clothing, in food, and in medical all combined. So in other words, the basic necessities in life, the average taxpayer paid more to the government. In the view of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, you are an anti-tax extremist if you think we pay enough taxes already. Given what I just told you, you are an extremist if you think that it is enough to pay the government more than you are left to pay for your food, your clothing, and your medicine combined. Now, you tell me who has an extremist view when it comes to taxes. But here's the ultimate problem they have with it. They write, not only does it starve public coffers. Oh, see, the poor government just doesn't have enough money. The two-tier tax system makes it impossible for physical stores to compete. And that also is BS. See, this is the problem with people on the left. As I mentioned, there are some very legitimate arguments to be had regarding this particular issue, but they just are incapable of having them. Instead, they throw out ridiculous statements like it is impossible for physical stores to compete. Well, if that were the case, then they wouldn't exist, would they? They wouldn't exist. It's sort of weird to argue that it's impossible for physical stores to compete in Missouri when they are. Yeah, but what about some of the stores like Forever 21 and some of these others that are shutting down because of online sales? That isn't because of the taxation issue. That is because there are certain demographics that prefer to buy stuff online. There are certain products that people prefer to buy online. I'm one of these people. For a lot of products, I prefer to go in a store to look around, to, you know, maybe inquire about it. I do my research. While there are a few things I buy online, I prefer brick and mortar. I also don't like to wait for stuff when I'm ready for it. And so even though it may be in 24 hours, I'd rather drive 20 minutes to the, you know, that it takes to get to the store and buy it right then and there. Now, some people are different. Everyone's different. Some people have a different perspective of it. But fact of the matter is, yeah, being able to purchase things online has had a tremendous impact. But the idea that the thing about online purchases is the tax aspect of it, and that makes it impossible for brick-and-mortar stores to exist and compete in Missouri, is an argument that is so far based out of reality. It destroys any credibility that the people making the argument have on this particular issue. They're right. When the legislature reconvenes in January, Parson and other serious Republicans, tax-increasing Republicans, should remember what pro-business means. Physical stores that invest on the ground in Missouri deserve treatment equal to, if not better than, what Amazon gets. Well, now let's throw in one final thought here. Earlier in the piece, they point out that 45 states have sales taxes, which means 5 do not. Isn't it typical that their pro-business approach isn't even considering the elimination of sales taxes for brick-and-mortar stores, but adding taxes to those who don't currently pay them? If they're so interested in fairness, why aren't they arguing that the equality should be neither pay sales tax? No, that's not the route they go, is it? And let me tell you why. Because it's not about fairness. It's about money for the government. And people on the left cannot take enough money out of your pockets to satisfy their desire to fill the coffers of the government. The more money they can take out of the private sector, the more money they can take out of your paycheck, the more money they can take out of your wallet and give to the brilliant elites in government who know so much better how to spend it, the better. That's what this is about. It has nothing to do with fairness in business. And by the way, ultimately, you're the one who pays this anyway. You pay it. They make it, not that that doesn't have an impact on a shopper's behavior, but this idea that the business, where do you, have you looked at the receipt? You are paying that. So ultimately, it's an increased tax on you. You know, the game of selling on the internet, brick and mortar stores can do that as well. In fact, They do it quite often. And a lot of them do it very, very well. That's a little inconvenient fact that the editorial staff at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch left out of their argument. Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. The Democrats and the media are going apoplectic this morning because the White House told this ambassador, you had Schiff, wanting to have another one of these closed-door meetings regarding Trump and this investigation, so-called investigation with Ukraine. And as you know, they just refused to actually hold a vote on impeachment. So this is nothing. This is all pretend and make-believe. And the Trump administration is saying, we're not going to play along. So the State Department told them, you're not, you know, this is so common. This is so common. To not participate in something like this unless the mechanisms that are required for it to occur. In other words, you want to have impeachment hearings, then you have to vote on impeachment. Maybe the Senate should just go ahead and start having a trial without actually voting on anything at all. I mean, why not? Why not go ahead and do that? I watched people like Juan Williams earlier on Fox News. Well, I mean, the only reason that you wouldn't comply with a subpoena is because you have something to hide. They continue to lie about these subpoenas that are not being issued. You know, we've got to get to the point, whether it's Fox News or these others, and Juan Williams was corrected, so they're not issuing subpoenas. But there was a day and a time, if you had a person that was supposed to be someone that was knowledgeable about the facts, and they would make a claim, such as the ambassador was subpoenaed and refused to comply, when that wasn't actually what happened, they would probably be suspended for it. And if it was discovered that they knew the truth and lied about it, they'd be fired. But nowadays, they just throw it around. Oh, yeah, they're all being subpoenaed when they're not being subpoenaed. The other argument that's being made is, well, this obviously is a sign that there's something to hide. I mean, after all, a person who is innocent, they would disclose information in order to show that. Oh, yeah, like Trump did all of the transcripts. And then the Democrats said, oh, sorry. And the media said, oh, looks like you were right. If truth is irrelevant, it doesn't matter whether you're innocent. Innocence is irrelevant. Guilt is irrelevant. All that's relevant is, are the people in power corrupt? And do they want to get you? And do they feel like getting you is going to backfire on them or not? And that's the decision-making that goes into all of this. Doesn't mean that they calculate it accurately, but that it doesn't have anything to do with truth or the law or anything at all. Adam Schiff, who is a fact witness in this entire thing, yet somehow is allowed to still lead the investigation and do these interviews behind closed doors, at a press conference earlier in the time, oh, just the serious nature of this. Never, ever have we seen such serious, serious situations. If it's so serious, vote on impeachment. Can't be that serious. They're now talking about protecting the whistleblower, so the whistleblower will never be known. I mean, can we get any closer to the Soviet-style show trials? A Kafka-esque world in which if you are outside of the elites, people who never, you know, you have these nameless, faceless people can accuse you of something. You have absolutely no right to confront your accuser. You can be, you know, if you're president, thrown out of office. If you're not, you could be thrown in jail. I just, you know. Even though you don't violate a law, even though you're accused of doing what it is that some other people actually did, they're cleared, they're fine, you're not. I mean, these are show trials that they're attempting to put on. The NBA continues to try to figure out how to deal with this situation in China. Now, the Chinese state broadcasters, CCTV, announced today that it's no longer going to air two NBA preseason games set to be played in the country. In the statement, the Chinese government indicated the decision was prompted by NBA commissioner Adam Silver's remark in Japan following a tweet by Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey last week that he supported the pro-freedom liberty demonstrations in Hong Kong. The broadcaster is also reviewing all of its cooperations and exchanges involving the NBA, according to a statement posted by CCTV Sports official social media account. CCTV said, "We're strongly dissatisfied and oppose Adam Silver's claim to support Morey's right to freedom of expression. We believe that any remark that challenges national sovereignty and social stability are not within the scope of freedom of speech." For years now, I have been providing evidence that these entities, and largely those on the left that really portray themselves as being, you know, more liberal, are total hypocrites, and it's all about money. It is so very clear with the Hollywood left how they will actually change their scripts to satisfy the Chinese government, while screaming about artistic rights here in the United States. They will boycott doing films in Atlanta because of the pro-life legislation, but they have no problem catering to China, which has camps set up and forced abortions and torture because of religious beliefs. All about the money, money, money. And this is another example of it. You know, a lot of these players, there were talks about not having the All-Star games in South Carolina because of the bathroom bill. But man, oh, they will bend over backwards apologizing to the Chinese. "We love you guys. No, no, no. We love you. We love you. We love you. Please don't be mad at us." There's a story in Breitbart, concentration camp survivor, China using abortion for genocide. Muslim ethnic minorities reported widespread rape, forced abortion, forced sterilization, and other extreme sexual human rights atrocities in accounts published this weekend, according to the Washington Post. Where is the outrage? No, they are bending over backwards. Some of them are apologizing to China. Now, credit to Adam Silver, the commissioner, he's like, "Hey, I'm not going to tell these people what they can or can't say, free speech." And even that is a little disingenuous, because fact of the matter is, a lot of this is an attempt to escape responsibility. If you run any sort of entity, you do have the right to tell people who are under you or part of your organization what they can or can't say publicly on your behalf. Whether it's the NFL, the NBA. And so you're not going to be able to, I mean, you, what they're saying, "Well, I can't tell people what, I bet if he said certain really racist things, you'd be able to shut him down real fast, wouldn't you?" This is an attempt to try and have it both ways, to look as if the NBA is not capitulating to a country that has all sorts of human rights atrocities, while at the same time trying to keep a market fresh for the taking in China. Usually trying to have it both ways doesn't work.